From KPFK Pacifica Radio, this is Rising Up with Sonali, and I'm your host, Sonali Kolhatkar. You can watch this show on Free Speech TV and listen to it on Pacifica radio stations and affiliates nationwide. The white supremacist rally in Charlottesville this past August became the focus of international news when hundreds of so-called alt-right groups, which included self-described Nazis, fascists, and white nationalists, gathered under the umbrella of the Summer of Hate. Heather Hare, a young white woman, was killed when one racist attendee drove through a crowded street. Also victimized by white supremacists was a young black man named DeAndre Harris, who was caught on tape being beaten by a number of white men with sticks. Harris sustained injuries on his head and face. It took the work of journalist Sean King and his team working for weeks to identify the perpetrators before three men were arrested for brutalizing Harris. But now Harris has been forced to turn himself into authorities after a white man claimed he had been beaten by the youth. Meanwhile, last weekend, the high-profile white supremacist Richard Spencer led a second nighttime rally of torch-bearing racists through Charlottesville at an event that got far less attention. My guest is Alvin C. Jacobs, Jr. He's a photographer specializing in social documentary, pro sports, portrait, editorial, and fashion photographic projects. He was present in Charlottesville and witnessed the beating of DeAndre Harris. Welcome to the program, Alvin.
Thank you.
So first, tell us what it was that you saw. This, of course, happened in mid-August. It got a lot of attention. The whole thing that happened in Charlottesville got a lot of attention. But the beating of DeAndre Harris, of course, a little bit less attention. What did you see happening?
Well, that was approximately the third altercation that I witnessed that particular morning and afternoon. There were outbreaks throughout the downtown area. And if you were in any particular part of the city, you saw different things. And I just so happened to be in the right place at the right time. And under normal circumstances, I'm a photographer, but I thought it more important that particular afternoon to do more video work, just to kind of lend sort of the background, you know, to what was happening. Sometimes with still photography and altercations, you can't really see exactly what's going on and who's doing what. So I press record instead of just the shutter. But what I saw was, oh, wow. So as we were walking down the street, this altercation took place right next to the police station. There's a police station that is right next to the parking garage. And since this was approximately the third altercation that I saw, I didn't want to get too close. I wanted a wider view. Excuse me. I wanted to be able to capture most of what was going on. So I kind of stood maybe 20 feet back and just press record, and I saw exactly what took place. Not necessarily inside the parking garage, but mostly when people were walking out.
So then, of course, the world saw the results of that beating on the face of DeAndre Harris, this young man. I believe he's only 20 years old, still, you know, a child practically, you know, face bloodied and bruised and stitches in his hand and arm in a cast. What do you think these men were trying to do with DeAndre Harris? They had him cornered. There were multiple men and this one young man.
Well, I think he had, three or four friends with him, or three or four individuals that he knew were there, but they were outnumbered. It was approximately 15, you know, to 20 different individuals that they had gotten to the altercation with. So it had kind of broken up. He was in the garage almost by himself. Right. His friends or the individuals that were with him were still outside of the garage. Really, no one could get in because they had him surrounded. And unless you walked inside the parking garage, you couldn't see what was going on because there were so many people that were surrounded. There was so much going on. Law enforcement was there the entire time. When I mean the entire time, I mean the entire time. And people were begging for help. People were begging that.
Right. This parking garage was right next to the police station.
Absolutely. When I mean right next door, I mean right next door. Hmm.
So it took, as I mentioned, the work of journalist Sean King with the help of a team of volunteers that he put together to track down the men involved in this beating and essentially challenge authorities to arrest them. Would any of the three men who ended up so far being arrested, you think, have gotten arrested had it not been for the work of King and others?
Absolutely not. Absolutely not. There were high resolution photos and high definition video that were made available almost immediately, but law enforcement just decided not to bring those individuals up on charges prior to the pressure from Sean King and his team.
And then, of course, we have the shocking news that DeAndre Harris himself has now been arrested. He had to turn himself in. He did turn himself in a few days ago, and he was essentially arrested for allegedly beating a man with his flashlight. Can you tell me a little bit about why you think this happened?
Well, why I think that he was brought up on charges, or why is he being accused? Well,
why was he brought up on charges, you think?
Well, interestingly enough, there's clear video displaying and depicting who assaulted the man in question. You can see exactly what happened. DeAndre wasn't anywhere around. He was in the parking garage being assaulted. So even after that video has been made public, he's still being arrested. He was still brought up on charges. So it's kind of you can't win for losing. You know, there's an old saying that that speaks to it directly. When you're trying to defend yourself, sometimes you're even a victim then.
Yeah.
So I saw what took place. This was, again, the third altercation that afternoon that I was made privy to. And people were just tired. They were angry. They were frustrated. And there was a lot of fighting going on. And I think with all of the violence that happened, I think only maybe three or four arrests throughout the day. But let's say five or six. Which was interesting because there was a lot of violence.
Yeah.
I mean, there was a lot of violence. So, I'm sorry.
The man in question who says DeAndre Harris beat him is Harold Ray Cruz. He describes himself as a Southern nationalist, and he's an attorney. And it's amazing to me that there was all this video and photographic evidence of DeAndre Harris being beaten, and it took so much pressure to get the perpetrators in his beating arrested. Meanwhile, it seems as though it just took the word of this other man saying he was beaten by DeAndre Harris to get DeAndre arrest warrant out for Harris. As far as you know, is there any real evidence connecting Harris to the beating of this Southern nationalist?
As far as I know, in the video that I've reviewed and the video that I've taken, DeAndre is nowhere near that particular altercation. He was
and yet the police chose to issue a warrant for his arrest, and he is now in custody. I mean, what does that say about the police, right? I mean,
this altercation could have been stopped. The police were there the entire time. I mean, I have clear video depicting, showing how slowly the police are responding. They're literally walking to the altercation. They were standing there the entire time. I mean, 50 feet away, you know, they walked to the altercation. It didn't even have to take place. And it was going on for a while. The National Guard was there, the state police were there, and the local police were there. And just the response time was really, really slow for them that had already been in the vicinity. So with them calling for an arrest warrant for him so quickly, with a lack of information, it's interesting. You know, that narrative is completely, it's in line with the response time and really, you know, what the governor said himself, that roughly 80% of the individuals there, you know, were carrying firearms, almost to the tune that he felt that his men and his women and, you know, the members of law enforcement were outgunned. Like they didn't have, you know, the manpower and the authority, you know, to do anything about the various altercations.
But meanwhile, of course, they were out in full force. You can see the pictures of of them in full riot gear with, you know, well armed. So you have a situation now where this young man is imprisoned, and it seems as though on the surface of it, the police are, you know, and Harris's arrest is being celebrated on social media by the white supremacists. Just from the outside, it just seems clear that the police are doing the work of the white supremacists.
Well, the first altercation, just to be clear, it happened around 10:15 that I saw right outside of a church, which was kind of the safe house. So this was when they were first yelling, "You will not replace us, you will not replace us." I have that video as well. And they attempted to, there was like a bottleneck, you know, on the street. So they wanted to leave via the sidewalk. They came in through, you know, the dead end, you know, where the officers had it barricaded. They came in via the street, but they decided to get in formation and walk down the sidewalk. Well, the counter protesters wouldn't allow that. So the altercation started right there, and a young white woman was brutalized. I mean, bleeding profusely from her head, and the police were literally 50 feet away, and they walked. They walked again, and there were no arrests. The men got away. The men that assaulted that woman got away. They walked away. There wasn't one arrest. So doing the work of the white supremacists is an interesting narrative, you know, because if you look at all of the violence and the individuals that were brought up on charges or that were arrested or that are being sought after by law enforcement, and then addition to the governor saying that, again, 80% of the individuals there were armed, it seems to be not far-fetched, you know, to assume that maybe there are there's some correlation.
And let's now talk about what's been happening in the aftermath. In addition to DeAndre Harris himself being arrested, you know, the victim of these white supremacists himself being arrested, there were reports that Charlottesville schools have been on lockdown. The city is quite tense. The lockdown was because there was a threat that was made, and the school's district was worried in light of the August gathering, Summer of Hate. The schools are on lockdown. And then this past weekend, Richard Spencer, who's another sort of high-profile white supremacist, led a second nighttime rally following from the one that took place the night before DeAndre Harris was beaten, of what seems like dozens of white men carrying torches through Charlottesville. That just didn't get very much attention. I mean, it's to me quite unbelievable that these people, some of them probably present in August, would return to Charlottesville after everything that happened. That's hubris.
But they're being welcomed. They're being welcomed. It is their right to show up, make terroristic threats, and carry those threats out repeatedly. Can you imagine if you and I, just you and I, not you and I and hundreds of our associates and allies and comrades, just you and I, making threats via social media and carrying those threats out, you know, in any community in the United States of America, how far would we get? How long would we be allowed to operate? And individuals are hiding behind laws, and they're hiding behind rights.
And you know, the idea of free speech. Right. Yeah.
Absolutely, absolutely. Their right to, well, this is a college campus, and just that organization, period. You know what I mean? That's not a thing in the United States of America. You can absolutely have a right to free speech, but you're organizing hate. You're organizing violence. They came to Charlottesville with every idea to cause harm, you know, to cause fear. And they've been allowed to do that routinely. Now, what was interesting was the reason why it got the way it got and things happened that way is because the community and other individuals stood up against that hate. If they were allowed to just continue to orchestrate, you know, their ideologies, well, okay, we have the right to do so, but people stood up against that. So most of the altercations you saw were between them and individuals who do not hate. They're not subscribing to the fact that you have a right, you know what I mean, to hurt other people through not only what you say, but through what you do. So it was approximately 95% white people and maybe 5% other people, you know, who were there. But you saw exactly what happened. It didn't go the way that they wanted it to go. Or maybe it did. Maybe this is exactly what they wanted. Maybe this is continuously what they want, to spread violence and fear.
So, Alvin, what role do you see folks like yourself? You're a photographer, you were able to document some of this violence. What role do you see yourself and others like you being able to play? You know, we certainly have independent media like this program trying to put out the word, but I'm not sure whether CNN or MSNBC would be interested in your footage or putting out the narrative. So it feels like we're on our own to get the word out about what's really happening.
But you know what? I think that's our responsibility as a people. Mm-hmm. If we're depending upon other people, regardless if it's mainstream media or, you know, members of law enforcement, if it's up for our government, you know, to do things for us, we're going to be on our own for a long time. You don't necessarily have to have, you know, 100 million followers on social media. You don't have to have, you know, the latest, best, photography equipment or video equipment. If you just have your phone, you know, and you just have access to the internet and you're present, you know, through any of these any of these circumstances, I think it's our job to just tell that story creatively, truthfully, and maybe eventually professionally. You know, a lot of the news that we're being made privy to is coming from independent sources. Not that an independent can't create their own narrative. I mean, look at Breitbart, right? Like, that's an independent news source, right? But we see where that's coming from. Well, something has to counter that hate. There has to be a platform that has a narrative, not just necessarily of neutrality, but of truth. You're not pushing your own agenda. You're just documenting exactly what took place. And I think that's an increased level of responsibility for citizens of this country and maybe of the world.
And as far as you know, Alvin, are the racists planning on coming back to Charlottesville?
I think they will continue to come as long as they're welcomed. You know, there hasn't been a mass effort saying that you are not welcomed here. You know, they're applying for permits. I'm not sure if they're receiving them or not, but they're definitely under the guise that they are welcome. They haven't tried that in too many other cities because I think that they can understand the response beforehand. They tried it in Charlotte, which is around 3.5-4 hours away from Charlottesville. They were going to come here.
And that's in North Carolina where you are, Charlotte, North Carolina.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm, yep, they were going to come to Charlotte and we shut it down.
So how people respond is absolutely crucial.
Absolutely. And responding quickly. Yeah. You don't wait until they come and then try to stand up. You shut it down before. As soon as you hear about it, you shut it down. If this isn't what you want in your city, you have to shut it down immediately because they're gaining power and they're being galvanized. They're being protected, you know, from the highest form of government. So we again have an increased level of responsibility to tell the truth and to do this work. And we have to do it because it's our duty.
I want to thank you so much, Alvin, for doing the work that you do and for spending this time
with us.
Thank you.
Absolutely.
My guest is Alvin C. Jacobs, Jr., a photographer specializing in social documentary, pro sports, portrait, editorial, and fashion photographic projects. We've been following up on what's been happening in Charlottesville, Virginia, as Alvin witnessed the beating of DeAndre Harris in mid-August. I'm Sonali Kolhatkar. We're online at risingupwithsonali.com, where you can sign up for our daily newsletter. Also find us on Facebook, Twitter, iTunes, and Vimeo.